No, no, no. Penny Furie, our investigative journalist, has been out and about every Friday. She does a roundup of what's happening in the area. Things that it's in common, well, it's in common plain sight, but often not reported on. It's some of these stories are peculiarly silent in the media, and one wonders why. Because there's a fascinating story today. Penny, what's on your plate?
Well, we've got a few. I'm going to start off with secret meetings, luxury villas, and a controversial tender bus. Not your everyday North Coast news, but it landed here on our doorstep, and it has been reported. Now, former Police Minister Bheki Cele reportedly held a private meeting on the 18th of March at Zimbali Villa, owned by Morgan Maumela. His family and trust owns two mansions in the estate worth 35 million. Now, the meeting included controversial tender boss Vusimusi Kat Matlatla, whose 360 million rand health services contract was actually cancelled just weeks later. That contract has been flagged for fraud and other alleged crimes. Now, according to News24, WhatsApp messages show Maumela provided Matlatla with estate access, which Matlatla then shared with Cele, and both Maumela and Cele have since given conflicting explanations about the purpose and ownership of the meeting. Now, Matlatla is now in custody, and he faces multiple charges, everyone knows, including attempted murder and money laundering, and investigators have uncovered evidence of bid rigging and shell companies used to manipulate hospital tenders. Now, this incident highlights a broader challenge. High-end estates living can sometimes provide cover for criminal activities operating under the guise of security and exclusivity. In July 2025, a coordinated police operation uncovered illegal firearms and drugs worth about 450,000 rand at two properties in the same estate. That haul included six illegal firearms, over 1,200 rounds of ammunition, a sonic grenade, and cocaine. Now, the two brothers were arrested in connection with the find, and earlier in 2009, a 4 million rand heroin bust was conducted at a rented residence in Zimbali, leading to the arrest of a 37-year-old man. So authorities say these spaces can make it easier for crime to go undetected, emphasizing the need for vigilance, oversight, and active reporting from residents without stigmatizing the majority who live there lawfully. While this investigation touches on national figures, it has a clear local resonance. It illustrates how luxury and exclusivity can sometimes mask wrongdoing, and it's a reminder that crime can hide in plain sight, even in our safest looking neighborhoods.
Mm. Yeah. Wow.
So let's look at the next one. Scores of dead fish along the Tongo River mouth. Not the kind of sight anyone expects on a morning walk or weekend outing.
The Tongat River mouth.
Yes.
The Tonga River is a bit
the
further
The Tongat River mouth. What did I say?
The Tonga River.
The Tongat River. Okay.
So we're chuckling, but this is a hell of a story. I picked it up. True. I got hold of Wayne Cranbeck at Zimbali Lakes to say, what's going on? Because it's terrible. The fish, there was just a rim around the edge of the lagoon to the beach. Of dead fish?
Absolutely.
It was a massive spill. Yeah. Not unlike what happened in Umhlanga a couple of years back after the big riots and the
UPL,
fire.
Yes, UPL, yes.
I mean, the river has been poisoned and all the things in it have died.
Yeah, and let's not forget that a lot of subsistence fishermen actually use that river, and it's also used by communities. A lot of people walk. Now, what happened was a Westbrook resident came across that the carnage last Thursday, and he raised concerns about the health of the river and the surrounding ecosystem. And local resident Jason Kombush, who also serves on the Dolphin Coast Ratepayers and Residents Association Environmental Committee, he stepped in to document the incident. He compiled a detailed report with photographs and submitted it into Itakwini's Disaster Management Unit. And now this morning, Jason confirmed to us that both Disaster Management and COCTA have acknowledged there was oversight in how the situation was handled. I mean,
don't
it wasn't
you love
really
that,
handled.
The euphemisms.
Yeah,
there was oversight.
Yeah.
Oh,
what does that actually mean?
Someone overlooked the fact that we poisoned the river.
Yeah, and he said they're committed to remedial measures within the next 2 weeks to strengthen response protocols. Now, Jason says a meeting with private stakeholders is already scheduled for next week, and they want to discuss long-term solutions, introduce transparency, and ensure ongoing monitoring of the Tongaat River mouth. We're still waiting for the Caesar Water Report that, the way Jason said, they'll be, it will be key to understanding what caused the mass fish deaths. But Jason notes that water sampling was done a full week after the incident, and heavy rains likely diluted or washed away contaminants.
But even then, it still showed a huge amount of, well, let us not jump the gun, but reading between the lines and between us, we can't for public comment then go and state it is definitely the case. But it would look very, very much
like there was contamination.
There is, and the story is only just beginning.
Well, they're doing a stakeholders meeting, and the findings, while they may not fully reflect what happened, there are, you know, we've got a very, very active citizenship happening here. So we're going to be monitoring it and just
And isn't that encouraging to note that although although these terrible things happen, when you have an active citizenship or citizenry, people that care, that get involved, that take the, like you do, you pick up these things and then you expose them and you get to the root so that they don't happen again. That's the point. Yeah. You know, I mean, things happen. We understand.
Yes.
Mistakes happen. But our interest is to make sure that they do not happen again, because our environment is precious, and you cannot afford to lose an estuary of nursery estuary of little fish that become big fish, and people, as you say, there are those that depend on it for their for literally to survive. And no, this is a big story.
Yeah, and you know, residents like Jason have given up their time selflessly, you know, to document, report, follow up, and these issues simply don't disappear with residents like that. So I'm very happy that we do have these people in our community. And now we're not placing, you know, there's the thing. We are not replacing our fallen traffic lights. Have we run out of replacements? I'm just saying what's on social media. Are we waiting for drivers to pay their fines first? Or are we still waiting for the Temu delivery to clear customs? These are just some of the sarcastic but very real comments we've seen from residents online about Kwadukuza's broken traffic lights. And honestly, they have a point. Now, across the municipality, the traffic lights have been out for months with no visible progress on repairs. Under an agreement with the Department of Transport, KDM's electrical business unit is meant to repair the lights or appoint a contractor. But despite assessments being done to find the faults, most lights are still dead, leaving peak hour traffic in chaos. And the budget for the traffic light maintenance remains at just $2 million, the same as last year, even though the majority of lights across the town are out. And at the Salt Rock Bridge near Mshlali Primary School, where over 1,000 children attend, parents say the situation is becoming dangerous. The school has repeatedly tried to get the lights repaired with no success. And I reached out to Ward 22 Councillor Privy McCann. She says an ongoing intergovernmental dispute between KDM and the Department of Transport has compromised her service delivery and put lives at risk. And she tells us that despite a promise from KDM's Executive Director of Electricity in early August to start repairs while finalizing the service level agreement with the department, nothing has happened. So she's called the situation unacceptable, and obviously residents agree. And we also reported last week that the Dolphin Coast Ratepayers and Residents Association is exploring a public-private partnership to resolve the issue. We've asked for updates on that, and we'll share them with you as soon as we have them. For now, motorists are left navigating an obstacle course of dead traffic lights, one intersection at a time. And I know, while some might find this a joke, waiting for a Temu delivery, many residents say there's no longer a laughing matter. It's time for KDM to take responsibility and restore order to our roads.
You know, I was having a chat with a very eminent attorney recently, who said that he is seriously investigating, along with others, the move back to a local municipality, a local borough for Belito. And you know, Belito.
Yes, like it
Brand
was before.
Belito. Yeah. Salt Rock, Sheffield, Sharkers Rock, Belito. Because the revenue structure, if you like, of that little enclave is sufficient to run a very efficient, top quality, world-class municipal entity.
Yeah.
You know, as a When I say municipal, I'm talking about, you know.
Yes, within a...
It used to be the borough of Ballito had its own...
Dolphin Coast, hey?
Yeah, it was a very efficient, very effective little municipal hub.
Yeah.
And then it was amalgamated, like so many things. Our lovely Ubermensa.
You know, 60% of the rates that Quadicusa get for their budget comes from just this... little region.
Well, I think it's high time that this was investigated properly and not illegally, and there's no need to get all up in arms and flap and flip. If it can be done, and it can be done sensibly, and people all listen, the bottom line is you want what you're paying for.
Absolutely.
It doesn't mean to say that you can't support the indigent areas around. That there will no doubt be an inclusion there. But generally speaking, and that's the issue isn't the money. The money is there.
Yeah.
Generally, there's plenty. The issue is that it is inefficiently
managed. That's the and no accountability, of course. I mean, whoever's the portfolio of the person who's looking after this. I mean, why is he not saying anything? Yeah. But anyway,
it'll be interesting. Apparently, the mayor's coming in for a chat.
We're trying to organize him. We are waiting for his spokesperson to.
I want to ask him why isn't it feasible that whoever knocks the traffic lights down pays for the damage through their insurance, their third party insurance. Oh, they haven't got third party insurance. Well, hey, I mean, I'm just being devil's advocate.
Yes.
Because I mean, if you have an accident, the thing is that you're responsible for the damage that you have incurred. If you are the person that knocks over the traffic light.
How much are they? Do you know? How much does one traffic light cost?
I would imagine they're quite expensive. Yeah. But it's the cost to the economy and the community. And the inconvenience cost, the potential hazards, the further accidents that are caused as a result. So it's a very... Now, I contend that most of those street lights are knocked down negligently.
Yes.
I mean, one doesn't aim to hit a traffic light, but you've got to be pretty out of control.
Yeah.
And dangerous. So there should be some repercussion. Why is it that the community is left through our rates and taxes to continuously repair these lights which go up and are knocked over almost in the same day, if not the same week that they get erected? Yeah. I would also, if I was in the municipality, be pulling out my hair, saying, we put up the lights, we fix them, and they get knocked over the next day.
Well, there has to be some sort of solution to this problem because it's ongoing. And it's actually, it's actually not just our community. It's across... South Africa, there's a lot of municipalities battling the same issue. One of the
I'm going to be devil's advocate here again and say, I wonder how many of these are caused by minibuses.
The taxis. You know, in the East Rand in Gauteng, the council got so fed up with replacing the lights, they've now replaced them with stop signs. They said, no more traffic lights, we're putting stop signs.
There we go. Well,
so we can't afford to keep replacing them. So...
joy that would be, hey?
Gosh, that's going to four-way stop street. People don't know how to use them in
circles
many of our
bumps.
Roads. Yeah, it's very confusing for a lot of people. But now we've got the final segment. We've got a quick heads up for anyone on the North Coast making money as a social influencer. SARS put out a statement saying social media influencers are officially on their radar as a separate taxpayer group. So if your day looks like posting fashion hauls, sharing sponsored fitness tips, reviewing local restaurants, or tagging brands for freebies, the tax man is watching. Now, what does this mean? If you're getting paid for posts, whether in cash, clothes, gadgets, free holidays, or that endless stream of gifted skincare, it all counts as income, and it all needs to be declared. SARS says it doesn't matter if you call it a collab or a gift. If you're earning value, you're earning income. Now, why now? You're saying marketing budgets are shifting. Instead of big ad agencies getting the spend, more money is going straight to influencers with sizable followings. And that makes influencers, whether you've got 500 followers or 50,000, basically small business owners in the eyes of the taxmen. Depending on what you earn, you could even fall into provisional tax. SARS insists it's not going to try to trip anyone up. They say they'll make compliance easier with guides, webinars, and even explainer videos. But they're also clear it's your job to come forward. Now, the SARS commissioner, Edward Kesvita said influencers need to uphold their end of the bargain. So if you're building your brand, counting your followers, and cashing in on a collab, just remember SARS is counting right alongside you. Even that at gifted coffee mug could come with that. And those freebies, well, they're not going to be freebies anymore.
That's a hell. Because now they can just reach into your bank account.
Oh my goodness, I heard that.
They don't need any buyer permission.
Absolutely.
They can just say, hey, Penny Fourie's looking good. Let's go and have a look at the bank account. Yeah. And if the bank account looks good, they say, well.
And they can take the money out without even.
Days.
Yeah, letting you know. So
I think that's, here's the thing. I don't mind paying tax if I'm getting good return for my money. You know, if you go to a place like New Zealand, and I don't use that as an example, but I just happen to know. I went and did the investigation years ago, and their tax rate was extortionate, I thought, until they pointed out, yeah, but look at this. You get excellent health care, you get great security, social
education.
Education, you know, it's clean, green, and safe.
Yeah.
And generally speaking, everyone pays, but you know that you're getting value. That's how it used to be. Yeah. I don't know about now. But unfortunately, in our beloved country, we just pay and still pay again on top of that.
You're paying tax on all the goods that you're buying anywhere. You've got car petrol tax. It's everywhere. So this is another avenue they're looking at. And it's becoming a big, a lot of people are becoming influencers full time. So there is money to be made as a social influencer. So it's going to be interesting how they're going to navigate that And
these are interesting stories,
very
Penny.
Interesting.
Keep an ear to the ground and an eye on the prize, and we'll catch up in a week's time with developments.
Yeah, thank you, everyone, for spending part of your morning with us, and have a safe weekend. We'll catch you up next Friday, or we can come say hi on Sunday at a fun run at Hollow. I'm looking forward to that one.
Won't that be amazing? And that's an absolute parting gift. If you go online to our website or our app and look for Uncensored with Penny Fourie, her latest edition is Shooting the Lights Out.
Sure.
Huge engagement. What is it about? Go and find out. Go and read it for yourself. You will be shocked, horrified, amazed, and intrigued. Penny, we'll catch up in a week's time.
Thanks, Dave.